Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. The U.S. Department of Labor continues to pursue initiatives that seek to produce a workforce investment system which is responsive and agile to the opportunities presented by our 21st century economy. In an effort to meet this critical mission, the department continues to maintain its dedication to improving performance and ensuring that good government principles inform its day-to-day management and its operations. It has also instilled the importance of a sound financial management and internal controls throughout the organization, transforming labor into a financial management leader. With us this morning to discuss his efforts in this area is our very special guest, Dr. Douglas Webster, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Labor. Good morning, Doug. Good to see you again.
Good morning. Good to see you as well.
Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Dennis Kayser, partner in IBM's Federal Civilian Practice. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Al.
Doug, perhaps you could start by sharing with us a sense of the history and the mission of the U.S. Department of Labor. Can you tell us when it was created and what its mission is today?
Certainly, Al. The Department of Labor began in 1884 as a bureau under the Department of the Interior, and it was not until 1913 that labor achieved the rank of a cabinet agency. Legislation signed by President William Howard Taft in 1913 established the department and its mission. Then and now, our mission is to foster and promote the welfare of the job seekers, wage earners, and retirees of America. We do this by delivering programs that improve their working conditions, advancing their opportunities for profitable employment, protecting their retirement and health care benefits, helping employers find workers, strengthening free collective bargaining, and tracking changes in employment, prices, and other national economic measurements.
It's certainly a key issue in today's environment. So, to give us a few more specifics, Doug, how is the department organized? Can you give us a sense of the size of its budget, number of full-time employees, how your offices are dispersed across the country?
Certainly. The department's led by Secretary of Labor Lane Chow. It has 19 agencies, and the largest program agencies are the Employment and Training Administration, the Employment Standards Administration, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, the Mine Safety and Health Administration, the Veterans Employment and Training Service, and the Employee Benefits Security Administration. This year, the Department of Labor has a budget of about $50.5 billion and a workforce of approximately 17,000 full-time equivalents. As for our geographic footprint, we have approximately 500 regional, field, and district offices.
So with that background, Doug, perhaps you could tell us more about your specific role as the Chief Financial Officer of Labor. You know, what are your specific responsibilities and duties? And maybe you can talk a little bit more about the actual organization under your purview, you know, the number of staff, the size of budget that you have.
Sure. The Office of the CFO, in line with the CFO Act of 1990, develops and manages the accounting and financial management policies for the department. Now, my role as the CFO is to support the program agencies in achieving their goals by providing information that's accurate, relevant, and useful in their decision-making. For this fiscal year, our agency's budget is about $20 million, and we have a federal workforce of 66 persons. That's supplemented, of course, by contractor support as well. In my office, I have a career deputy, Lisa Feely. Lisa helps me oversee the Office of Fiscal Integrity and the Office of Financial Systems. The Office of Fiscal Integrity ensures that the Department of Labor adheres to the highest standards of fiscal responsibility by preparing departmental financial statements and aiding in the department's long-term financial management planning. This office is also responsible for centralized departmental accounting operations. The Office of Financial Systems provides state-of-the-art technology to ensure the delivery of reliable, consistent, and timely financial information. This office also develops, maintains, and operates Department of Labor's centralized core financial management system and other related systems. To support the mission of the department, the Office of the CFO assures that all departmental financial functions meet applicable standards, provides leadership on the department's financial actions, monitors the financial execution of the budget, and enhances the knowledge and skills of departmental staff working in financial management operations.
So with regard to your specific role as a CFO, can you tell us what your perhaps top three challenges are and what you're doing to address those challenges?
Yes. I think my top three challenges probably are keeping the wheels turning in Greece, just continue the day-to-day operations that have been so well laid out in the past under my predecessor and the staff that I have currently working for me. Secondly, installing strategic planning and thinking. I think it's very crucial that we continue to improve our skills and our point of view in terms of looking to the future and being able to adapt proactively by planning what the future holds. And finally, creating a change-oriented organization. Now, what that means more specifically in terms of keeping the wheels turning and greased is we've got the new core financial management system, which is a replacement to our existing core financial management system. Secondly, in terms, again, of keeping the wheels turning and greased, we, of course, need to maintain a clean audit opinion. If you can't trust the data, then you can't use the data. And so it's essential that we make sure that our data is accurate and complete. And I'd like to highlight that that means that we're expecting to get our 12th straight clean audit opinion this year. So I'm very grateful to be working in an organization that has such a sterling track record of 11 straight clean audit opinions thus far. And finally, in keeping the wheels turning, I'm very interested in making sure that we institutionalize CAM, which is our Cost Accountability Manager program. It's a managerial cost accounting program that is providing good information from a cost basis to our various agencies so they better understand their costs and can make more intelligent, cost-informed decisions and support our budget performance integration efforts. Regarding installing strategic planning and thinking, one of the first things that I did when I came on board was to hold some strategic planning sessions where we went through the formal, typical kind of a strategic planning process in terms of defining strategic goals and objectives. We think that this is especially crucial in this day and age when we're facing or the looming, certainly, greatly decreasing budget. So we've already seen this happen. But given the future projections of shrinking discretionary budgets, we think it's going to be crucial that we take a more strategic view and a more risk-based view of how we address our budget priorities. We're also looking at our human resources to try and make sure that we are better positioned for the future. Everyone knows that we've got human resource issues in the federal government, but we're trying very hard to be proactive and get ahead of that problem. And finally, I think change management is a major issue, and that's building a more adaptive and agile organization, one that's able to adapt to the changes as they become identified. So I think that that's plenty to keep me busy for the next 6 months, and hopefully that's going to add value to my predecessor, or my successor, rather.
Now, Doug, along with serving, I think, about 21 years in the military, I also understand that you spent some time in the private sector. Can you tell us a little bit about your career path? You know, how'd you get started and what brought you into your current role?
Sure. Well, in my Air Force career, half of it largely was in airlift operations. I was a C-130 navigator. And the other half was in weapon systems acquisition, major weapon systems acquisition. My last tour of duty was in the Office of Secretary of Defense and in the acquisition staff. Along the way, I had the good fortune to be able to pick up a doctorate in business. So when it came to retirement, I was looking how I'd leverage my experience, my training, and so on. And seemed like, at least for initially, management consulting would make some sense. I transitioned initially out to management consulting, working with a number of the major companies, and that's really given me a great opportunity to work with many federal agencies because I've been working in that portion of consulting that was focused on the federal government. And I really have enjoyed that portion of my career because I think it's not only interesting but intellectually stimulating. And it's given me a great ability to look at good practices, best practices, and maybe not so such good practices as you go in and helping organizations improve. I think it's offered me a breadth of visibility that it's difficult to get outside of the consulting environment. So I've done that for most of the 15 years since I've retired. The one exception was most of 2004 I spent in Iraq with the Coalition Provisional Authority, where I worked as the principal finance advisor to the Ministry of Transportation. That was as a SES equivalent DOD employee, and that was very challenging, but also a very worthwhile experience.
That's great, Doug. So as you sort of reflect on all of these experiences, whether it's in the Air Force and the various management consulting firms that you work for or your time in Iraq, how have these experiences shaped your current leadership style, if you will, and your management approach?
Well, I've got to give a lot of tribute, I think, to my military career and the opportunities that has offered me. Going into the military typically gives one a lot of management responsibilities earlier in their career than oftentimes you'd find out in the private sector in terms of leadership and so on. And that combined with my consulting experiences, as I mentioned just a moment ago, I've worked with over 20 federal agencies over the years, and I've seen lots of practices, like I said, both good and bad, and I'm able to utilize what I've learned both from my military experience and my consulting experience in this current position. So while it's not the typical progression into a CFO job, I mean, frankly, I think most CFOs, if you looked at their resume, it'd probably show that they've been a CFO of some other organization or at a minimum that they've got a very strong core accounting background. My background is more broad. I've got a lot of experience in strategic planning, performance management, and so on. But I think that I complement well, and my deputy, and she in turn complements me well because she's got that very strong accounting background. And I think together we make a very good team.
Excellent. Thank you. How is the department integrating budget and performance information? We will ask Doug Webster, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Labor, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.